You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
I think you'd agree with me that there's no shortage of get-rich-quick schemes, from the latest crypto meme coin to various pyramid schemes across the length and breadth of even just the African continent and all those sort of stuff. So don't be fooled by their promises of easy wealth. Now, these schemes, they like to give us these giant returns, or promise us these giant returns, and a vast majority of investors end up losing their money. Instead, spend your time learning how to build wealth, and that is the focus of our conversation this evening. And we are joined by Kudo. Good evening, Kudo.
Good evening. I believe it's Tapelo.
Ah, yes, it is. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing marvelous. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing good. Thank you so much for asking. And thank you for joining us this evening. I really appreciate your time. How was your day?
It's going well. Just arrived from the gym. I was worried that you'd still call me on the way.
And how was gym?
I know. Lovely. You know, we're always supposed to, it's not just, we're not only supposed to renew the but we must also take care of the outer man as well.
That's very true. We try and do that. But yeah, you see, it seems like you are quite vested in this thing. At this time of the year, I thought you'd be in some holiday somewhere and taking this call from Mauritius or something.
I know. We have not yet reached the levels of Mauritius, but we keep working.
We keep working.
The healthy way, not with these get rich quick schemes, but
definitely,
the right way.
Definitely.
Rightfully reach Mauritius.
Definitely. I love that. And that's what we're going to be talking about. But before you get into the crux of today's discussion, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe even for our listeners who might not know you?
Yes. Well, my full name is actually Kudakwashe Pasipamire.
Okay.
And I'm currently visiting my family in Namibia, but I'm a resident in Cape Town, working at Advantage Project Managers.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of things related to project management.
Yeah.
I recently graduated from Stellenbosch with a master's in civil engineering, focusing on construction management. So now I have managed to go in the direction and maintain that whole project management and stuff like that, because I felt like that's where I fit in life.
Ah, fantastic. That's amazing. Did you say a master's there?
Yes.
Ah, fantastic.
There's a we fought the dragon and we survived.
We are here, right? Yeah.
Yes.
There's a comment that says gym in December, red flag. So there you go. So you see, I'm not the only one.
No, we are vigilant throughout the year. There is no rest.
Vigilant throughout there. Did you say Kenya?
Yes. No, sorry, Namibia.
Namibia. Which part of Namibia?
Yes. I'm currently in Windhoek.
In Windhoek. Okay. That makes sense. So you're in the burbs.
Exactly.
Ah,
right. They're even in town. Even.
That's what we like. That's definitely what we like. Thank you so much, man, for joining us. Really, really appreciate it. I want us to start here then, Kudo. For someone out there who thinks, it's sinful to discuss increasing one's wealth, what would you say to that notion?
You know, I think usually when we're talking, especially given that the theme that we had started with was investment.
Yeah.
I'd like to actually first go to one of the stories in the Bible from Matthew, I think is it 25 from 14 to 30.
Yeah.
Is the parable of the talents, whereby you have this master who leaves all of his employees with a portion of money. And then when he comes back now, and the ones who have invested, even more is given to them.
Mm.
And to the one who just took, and then he kept it safe and everything, that is even taken away from him. And then when we go also to Proverbs 31, verse 16, we see that when Solomon is talking about the type of woman to marry, in verses 16, he talks about her ability to invest and to reap reward from that. And I think that the Bible is littered, even I think in Ephesians 4, 27 or 28,
yeah,
whereby it's talking about that we must no longer steal, but we must work so that we can give.
Yeah.
So increasing one's wealth, and I think this is directly tied to your own spiritual health.
Yeah.
Growing one's wealth has got a direct impact as well on the church, because now suddenly we have people within the church who can help things like, you know, SID media grow even more and send the word to the deepest parts of the world. You're able to fund these events whereby these crusades that pastors have. And so all those things, we cannot behave as though those things don't require funding. They all require funding. And how can we have that funding if the members of the church are not in a financial position to contribute towards the gospel?
So there's a direct link that you're saying there between between the two. And there's a way in which we can do. I suppose that's basically what we're also going to be talking about. But let's start here. Investing, is that even a thing? Why should it be a thing?
Yes. So, like, I think one of the things that we've often had an issue with investing that I've seen, at least heard in discussions, or even when you talk to the older generation, it's the issue of risk. I think people equate investing with gambling. And I think that's just a term that we now need to just clarify there. And the best way that we can explain this is that with gambling, it's a risk that is an outcome of you winning at the expense of someone. With gambling, we cannot all win. I have to win, but if I'm getting something, I'm taking what you have so that I can have. Whereas with investment, what I am saying is I'm buying a seat at the table of those who are eating. So when this company now, when if Capitec this year, when they started the year, they maybe were not making that much money, but by the end of the year, if they've made the right decisions and their operations have been very successful and they've tripled their earnings, even me, I'm reserving a seat right now in future that hopefully by faith I will also be able to eat with them. And if they lose, we lose together. So I think like those are some of the major differences that we need to be cognizant of when we're discussing investing and gambling. And then finally, I think also the other issue that people have with investing is the investing that is linked with unethical behavior.
Yeah.
For an example, if there's profitable, let's say stock or what have you, whereby this company trades in abortion pills.
Yeah.
You know, so if we now us as Adventists are investing in that, or if my uncle has got a shopping somewhere and I'm giving him money and he also gives me a cut there.
Yeah.
That we're now entering into a different type of conversation whereby now we have to determine what the right type of investing is. But in general, investing itself is, from a Christian perspective, is actually advised in the Bible.
It's actually advised in the Bible, and I want to explore that a little bit. But let me go back here. You're saying people equate investing with gambling. Is that a case of my people die because of a lack of knowledge, or do you think that the idea of investing has become, or is something that's obscure to a lot of people?
I think that it has been obscured by a lot of these things like Stockfelds and all these, do you call this, the trading, this forex trading and stuff like that. Because now we've got social media whereby the person tells you that, no, I was staying here in the Lokshini and I wasn't really doing much, but then I found forex trading and they gave me these signals. And then in 2 days, I had 800,000 rands in my account. And then by the weekend, I was there staying in the suburb there, planning to go to Mauritius. So even you can do it. So so I think because we've seen all these things and we've seen how they are portrayed on social media, and then now we're also starting to see people like high-ranking officials from, let's say, Binance, by the CEOs and stuff like that, they're either stepping down or now being arrested for some of these things. So, because we have that, number one, the lack of knowledge and the portrayal that is there in media, we start equating investing with all the negative connotations and ignoring all the benefits it can have, not only for us, but our contribution to the mission.
That's amazing. Unethical behavior, investing in, I suppose, companies, stocks, whatever that's engaged in unethical behavior. I want to go back to this one because I think it has some sort of bearing in one's decision to invest. And if you think about some or other investment platforms and investment vehicles, you find that you have no control whatsoever in what they invest in. So you invest in a unit trust that invests in tobacco, for example. So how do you maneuver that bit?
I think that with a lot of these things, it's also a matter of asking. You know, growing up, we're always taught. I had this teacher in grade 7.
Yeah.
We always used to quote this verse to us that prove all things.
Yes.
Don't just also just sit. They tell you, this unit trust, what. And you're like, okay, no, people are getting money. Even me on Twitter.
Yes.
No, you need to understand what is the portfolio. What exactly are they in investing in? Because it's not just necessarily blind investment. This information can be provided to us by the financial advisors from the different institutions that we're using to invest the money in.
Yeah.
So once we have a clearer understanding exactly of what they're investing in, we can also have a better moral placing for us to make the best decisions that align with our faith.
But these ones, the unethical safe ones, they don't seem to make money, eh?
I know sometimes, and also, you know, there are some companies that are like whereby the company is a conglomerate. It's so large, or the number of businesses that are associated there. It's difficult for us to know. And for me, for me is personal. How someone else may take it, I want to put a disclaimer.
Mm.
From my perspective, that's why I believe that God winks in case of not having the knowledge that I did do my part in trying to find out what exactly I'm investing in. But if the information was beyond my reach and that I did what I could to find out, then I feel that at least from that, we can receive some grace.
You've just given us some sort of leeway there. These companies, they might not tell us, but sometimes you're like, what did I find myself into? What did I put myself into? And that's what happens quite a lot. Do you find that young people are open to investing?
It depends. I'm actually starting to see it. I'm starting to see a change because I think early on, and actually I think maybe some 10 years or so ago, when especially Forex first started started gaining traction, there were a lot of people who were using, at least from my old universities and stuff, there were a lot of people who were using Forex for drinking money. That's the thing of, we can increase money. And then later on, you saw that there was that increase in social media popularity of having a certain lifestyle. So now you're starting to see that within young people, amongst young people, especially the ones who are in the professional, realm, there's now almost like a demarcation of those who are trying to show that they're living a certain type of lifestyle, even though they're in perpetual debt. Then there are those who maybe come from money, who've got very high paying jobs, and they are genuinely living those lifestyles, but they are burning through their money quicker than they get it. And then there are the others who truly are diligent, and some of them are actually doing quite surprising things at young ages because of prudent investment.
And I'm asking this question because most people and most of us are told that if you want to build wealth, you know, you start early, you start at your younger years, if you are not a unit, if you are not a trust fund baby, you know, the route might take you a little bit longer, but the sooner you start, the better, you know, because then you don't have the pressure of time. And so even your investment decisions, you might just want to go for the ethical, the more less risk, you know, and that means you've got time and all those sort of stuff. And that's where my question was basically coming from. But let's be honest now, Kuda. It's December now. And the idea of investing sounds very nice, but right now it doesn't sound really nice because we want to go and spend and spend and spend. Before we even get into some of the tips that you can share with us on increasing our wealth, is there a time to start?
Well, I think like you had actually said something that was interesting that actually brought back memories from one of the master's classes.
Yeah.
So we were in this class of project economics and finance, and they were trying to help us understand the financing of certain projects.
Yeah.
And one of the examples that happened during that class was they said, we want to see, like, based on inflation right now, right? And the way that inflation has progressed over the last, let's say, 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
We want to determine how much money you would need for retirement.
Mm.
And also from that now do like a reverse calculation to determine, so by when should someone start saving their money in retirement schemes, etc.
Mm.
And then one of the most surprising things that all the different groups end up finding out in the different calculations was that we should have started saving for our retirement funds when we're in grade 3.
Exactly.
And this was like in 2021.
Yeah.
And like the projections were kind of grim that, you know, like the longer. So like, I think this is now what makes investment specifically that much more important, because if those calculations, and given that like it was a master's class and a lot of people got very similar answers, if those things are correct, if we just follow the simple old tricks of you are just going to put your money in retirement fund and then reach that, if inflation continues the way it does, God forbid another Ukraine war happen and fuel prices go up, it means that our retirement funds won't be able to do the same things that our parents and our grandparents' retirement funds were able to do. So as to the question of when we should have started in grade 3, bro.
We should have started in grade 3. That's how many years ago was grade 3 like? Let's be honest. It's a long time ago. So yeah, it's quite a big one. Okay, share with us then some tips that one can use in increasing our wealth, like you said, in a safe, simple, responsible, and maybe even ethical way.
Yes. So for me, especially given that I'm at the beginning of my career, what I have found to be very, very useful, there's this thing, it's called easy equities.
Okay.
And I feel like there are a lot of, right now, there's like a lot of different YouTube videos that discuss it. Even when you go to some financial advisors, they also just introduce you to it. So basically, where it's coming from is, if in South Africa, there are these things that are known as these tax-free savings accounts.
Yeah.
So with these tax-free savings accounts, you are given a certain amount of money that you are allowed to deposit per year that is tax-free. And by tax-free, I mean that there are no taxes on any dividends. There are no taxes on that income or capital gains. It's free of taxes. And I believe that amount should be about 36,000 rands, and you are allowed a maximum of 500,000 rands deposit in your entire lifetime.
Yeah.
And if you make a 36,000 deposit this year, you can only make the next deposit after a year, like after the calendar year.
Mm.
And if you make any withdrawals, it doesn't mean that you are renewing. No, if you put 36,000 and then you withdraw 36,000, you can't put back again until the following year.
Mm.
But basically, what you do now with these ones on easy equities, they've got these things called ETFs, easy trade funds or something like that, that are on the stock market. And what you can do is on the application itself, you can even choose exactly what you're going to invest in. So even if let's say you decide that you're investing 5,000 rands this month, because it was depending on where you earn. But let's say you are there in the midway, by 5,000 is something whereby you save and you can now invest that.
Yeah.
On those applications, you can now choose exactly what type of unit trusts you're going to invest in. They can give you the financial history. How has this thing performed? What can I expect? And all that stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, it comes with some inherent risk, and this is something that we will never be able to escape. But then if you look at the alternative, which is you just keep your money in a savings account and they give you 5% at the end of the year, with your 5,000, you are not really going to see as much of a return.
Yeah.
So I think especially for young people, these tax-free savings accounts can be very useful. And then now, if you are also, if you're looking for things that are more, that, that are more useful than tax-free savings accounts, you know, there are various things, you know, like local individual stocks, you know, you can buy these local individual shares in, what is this, in things like Capitec, FNB, in Don, you've got your offshore individual shares, you know, you've got your passively managed retirement annuities, and, you know, and also, surprisingly, there still is crypto, which for me is crypto. Crypto is it depends on your taste of risk.
How
risky are you personally as a person? But I think that especially for young people who are dipping their toes in at the moment, and you are just starting to work, and you are trying to find where you can enter.
Yeah.
I think tax-free savings accounts can really give you a nice entrance into investing.
That's really nice. Now, talking about this crypto, I mean, if you kind of overlay it with the idea that the high risk, high return idea, low risk, low return, are you saying we should run away from crypto because it sounds like you know, yeah, there's money there.
The thing is, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, so crypto itself is based on this thing that is called blockchain technology, right?
Yes.
Which is one of these. So for some of the people who are not aware, right? Now it's in the scientific community, there's a discussion about whether or not we are part of the of a new industrial revolution. And this industrial revolution has got certain, you know, how like the conveyor belt changed manufacturing and all those things. So now what we have in our time are things like artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
We've got things also like blockchain technology.
Yeah.
So while crypto is used in the financial sense, we're also seeing the usage of the same type of technology now starting to permeate various industries, including the healthcare industry, the construction industry, etc. So now there are particular companies that are at the forefront of this thing. So when we're saying, like, so when I'm talking about crypto, the main thing that I'm talking about is, you know, when we're talking about things like Binance.
Yeah.
You know, like, about Binance.
Yeah.
They've recently had, I think there have been two giants right now who have had issues with American law, and a lot of people have lost money.
Mm-hmm.
Not just them, but also even before that, you are finding countries like China are tightening regulations on crypto on things like Bitcoin, etc. in their countries. So because of such regulations, it becomes a thing whereby you now need to be very much informed as to what's actually happening in the crypto world before you make these investments. With crypto, you can't just put your money there and then you just leave it and then you come back to get. No, you need to be very much aware because a rumor can just start there on Twitter. Actually, funny enough, if you follow football, there's this club, Manchester United, whereby there was a rumor that the club, since it's on the stock market, that this club is going to be sold for a certain amount of money. So now because of that news, the stock of the club was starting to go up. Then news came that the deal had been done by these Qataris or Saudi Arabians or whoever. And suddenly the stock price went all the way up. People were buying. It was very expensive. Only to find out that the rumor was started in someone's bedroom in Wales.
Sure.
And then the stock started plummeting all the way down. So if you had been someone who bought, what, if you're not aware of all the things that were happening and you're not following the media news around that particular stock, you could have been one of the people who rushed to buy. Then when the stock crashed, you lost all your money. So like, yeah, that's the same thing. But with crypto, it's much more. You have to be very vigilant. Otherwise, as quick as you get it, you can lose it.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's risks everywhere then. Are there such even with the safe, simple ones?
Yeah, I think that's why, like with the TFA, the tax-free savings account, that one it's a bit more risk friendly.
Yeah.
Yes, you might see some losses, but at least a lot of what I've seen and what I've personally experienced is that the losses there are much more limited
yeah.
than if you now go and you try now in these crypto spaces and forex trading.
We spoke about
those markets are more volatile.
Yeah, we spoke about discipline earlier on when we started the show. And one thing that I've seen a lot of people, especially who use easy equities and these tax-free investment savings account, when the going gets tough, we cash in these things, eh? Especially also if you hold your local individual shares either through Easy Equities or some other platform. What do I need to become, I suppose, I'm trying to build wealth. And so that means there's certain things I must do away with, I suppose, maybe instant gratification or maybe debt or whatever.
Yeah.
But how do I stay the course to build this wealth? And I'm following your advice, buying easy equities, you know, looking at tax-free investment accounts and, you know, those local and offshore individual shares. How do I stay the course?
I think that, like, one thing that is particularly helped me is learning. If you learn how to take care of yourself, you can easily learn how to stay the course with these things. This is why you see that in December we're at the gym.
Yeah.
That like
this
exactly. Like there's a certain discipline that comes with especially watching your diet. And I think like especially as Adventists, we always find a way to come back to the health message.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I think what one of the benefits that comes with looking after one's health and going to doing things like going to the gym and making sure you take care of yourself is you learn that there are a lot of things that you would want to eat, there are a lot of things you'd want to enjoy that are not good for you in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
So I feel like usually these things translate that if you yourself, if you're not a person who's accustomed to taking care of yourself, making sure your diet is good, making sure that your physical self and your spiritual health is good. When it now comes to financial discipline, I feel like financial discipline is far much harder than dietary discipline because the what call this reasons to spend money, they pop up out of nowhere, even in the middle of the night. Something can just come up. You know, so if you can't master the self first, then when it now comes to financial discipline, you will find that it will always get you.
If you can't master the self. That's amazing. Any message to our young people listening? We want to start building our own and increasing our wealth. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's not easy. But what would be your words of encouragement as we draw to a close?
Yes, I think that like the best thing to first, like there's a balance that needs to be struck because also as a person, as a human being, you need to have some fruits of your labor.
Yeah.
That you also need to have some. So I think like you need to become fiscally responsible. I was just watching, I think not so long ago, one of these conferences whereby they were talking about how on a very personal level, we must always not only budget, but we must keep a visual representation of where the money is going.
Yeah.
So that from the very beginning, if we understand what are the things that we would like to reward ourselves with, and we make commitments to say, okay, fine, if this is what is left over, I want to commit this thing to trying to see if I can get into investment. And also having the knowledge of knowing that these things also, they come also with a little bit of pain. There's a little bit of pain before you fully know and understand not only what you are doing, but how to be successful of it. So it's like finding that balance of not only taking care of yourself, but also making sure you take care of yourself in future. Because if you don't start now, it will always find you, whether it's with when you become, especially, I think for young men, I think I should have actually just gone to young men.
Yeah.
You're not going to play no baller if you don't invest.
Yes.
You know, like with the prices that they're charging these days, these girls that went to med school and law and stuff like that, in debt and in all those places, they're not going to. So you need to now have on 25,000 rands a month. Now you need to now become fiscally, you know, strategic.
Yeah,
you know, you're a man with a plan. You know, you have your fun, but also at the same time, you're making sure you're investing in all in the right things, learning how to invest, and in all times, especially if you are moving with you're keeping a good spiritual life and you're praying to God and always asking Him for guidance. He'll always direct your paths.
Yeah,
but the key thing is to always at least start.
Yeah, no, the young men are listening. Yeah, they Yeah, that's good advice that they should start now. There was a comment that said earlier on, so good late, manje, grade 3 was a lifetime ago. And I invested heavily in Chappies those days. So there you see, there you go. Talking about studying at grade 3. Exactly.
Invested in the did you know.
Exactly. Hey, those guys were not telling the truth on a lot of things, but they will talk about that. They were lies, man. We'll talk about them some other time. But yeah, thanks, Kuda. Yeah. Really appreciate your time.
No problem.
All right.
I'm happy to have
you. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too, Jim.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.